Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
I thought today that I would only look at two questions. The first one is, does God exist? And the second one is, who is God? I figure we have plenty of time, so it shouldn't take too long. To start on the first question, though, does God exist? I'll tell you a story of when I was a kid, and we had in our TV room, we also had a bookshelf, and my parents had their books on there and some of the old college books and things. Well, one day I pulled off one of the books, and I started reading the Metaphysics by Aristotle. Now, it was just a clip of it, you know, just a clip of it, so it wasn't the whole thing. But they did have the section there where he was reasoning whether or not God existed, and he came to the conclusion that there had to be only one God. Now, Aristotle lived more than 300 years before the time of Jesus, and he didn't have a connection to the Jewish or Israelite world. He was over in Greece. But it was using reason and philosophy he came to that understanding. And there were a few reasons why he came to that understanding, but two of the main reasons, one was what they would call contingency, something depends on something else for its existence, and the other one had to do with motion, you know, that something in motion needed to have a first mover or something that started the process. And he had other ways that he came to this conclusion, but those were two of the main ones. And as a kid, I didn't fully understand that, but what I did come up with was I imagined Legos, and I thought, well, if you just took Legos and you started stacking them one on top of the other, you could go on into infinity, and that's really similar to, like, time in the universe. You know, just kind of imagine Legos, just keep stacking them one on top of another into infinity, and you'd say, well, okay, if that's the case, something had to start that process of stacking those Legos to infinity. And then the other thing that had to have happened is someone had to have made the Legos. You know, so in my young kid mind, this is the way that I thought, well, that's kind of similar in a sense, you know, that the world had to, the time and the motion that we have in the world had to start somewhere, and something outside of this world needed to kind of get that going. Which didn't depend on the things of this world, so it would be like Aristotle called the unmoved mover, something that doesn't need something else to start that process. And then also the idea of contingency, that everything in this world depends on something else for its existence, but there had to be something beyond this world, beyond space and time, that doesn't depend on something else for its existence, and that would be God. And so anyway, this is what Aristotle came up with. And me as a kid with my Legos, I guess I was just kind of following the logic. Now, there are other reasons why we believe that God exists philosophically. And if you want, you can go on the parish website, go to Father Mike's blog. I have a brief summary of those beliefs, you know, so you can see that belief in God is reasonable. It's rational. And to be honest, there was never a time in my life where I ever doubted God's existence. It just seems common sense. It's my opinion that everyone believes that God exists, but it's just somewhere along the line, some people have talked themselves out of it for whatever reason. You know, sometimes people are too smart for their own good, and they kind of create these things in their mind. But it really is pretty self-evident. And to be honest, there's no great merit in just knowing God exists. You know, like I said, it's really just kind of common sense. But then, of course, we kind of look at it a little more deeply. So there was a friend of the family, his name's Russell. And so anyway, at one point, Russell was describing to me that he's what they call agnostic. And so I talked to him about that. I said, well, what is agnostic? You know, I didn't know what that meant. And so he said, well, I don't really know if God exists for sure, but I also don't want to exclude that he doesn't, so I think he does. But anyway, he's kind of going in circles about it. And I said, so you don't think God exists? And he goes, well, something exists. I know that. He was describing this kind of energy. There's this energy out there that created everything. You know, so basically he was kind of doing the Aristotle thing, but he was just saying that the unmoved mover, whatever it was just kind of this energy. And I'm like, well, what kind of energy? Are you talking about like mechanical energy? Or he goes, no, it has to be something outside of this world. And I said, are you talking about spiritual energy? He goes, yeah, I think so. Spiritual energy. Yeah, that's it. And I said, well, what does that look like? You know, because energy is something we have here on earth, you know. And he's like, I don't know. But anyway, we were kind of going on and on. So the thing about what Russell was coming up with, though, is that he came to the conclusion that there needed to be a God, but he kind of stopped there. And this is one of those issues. So anyhow, when I was in seminary, I was also on this pastoral year out in Gresham. And while I was out there in Gresham, I met this old German lady. And this old German lady was telling me the story about these seminarians that came and visited her. And while they were visiting her, this big storm came in. So it was like thunder and lightning and just downpour. Well, now the seminarians can't go back to the seminary. And if they don't get back to the seminary, they're going to be in trouble. So she decided she was going to call her friend, and her friend was going to tell the rector of the seminary to give these kids a break and let them go back to seminary the next day. And she's describing this friend of hers, and I'm like, well, what kind of friend would be able to tell the rector to let the kids go back to the seminary the next day? And she goes, well, he's like this really deep theologian. He was really famous, I guess, but he was just a nice guy. I couldn't understand anything that he ever wrote. And so I, well, who is that? You know, and she goes, well, his name was Father Karl Rahner. And I was like, oh, I know who that is. We actually study him. You know, he's a series of different theologians that existed after Vatican II or during Vatican II. And anyway, later on, I was reading some of his stuff, and some of it's a little deep, but some of it's not that hard to understand. And he was talking about the Trinity. And he said, unfortunately, many Christians are just mere monotheists. And he was saying that basically what happened is they came to the conclusion that there's one God, but they didn't really understand this whole Trinity thing. And they say, oh, that's just a mystery. And so all they stick with basically is just the idea that there's the one God, but they don't really understand or incorporate the idea of the Trinity into their faith. You know, so they're just kind of mere monotheists. And later he goes on to describe this, and he says it's really unfortunate because what really sets us apart as Christians is the personal and relational aspect of the God that we worship. And he said the Holy Spirit and Jesus were sent to this earth, and they bring us into the life and the heart and the love of God in the God, in our God's own relationship. You know, so in other words, we have this supernatural relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, three persons who are intimately in relationship with one another and all persons, and they reach down to bring us into their life and loving relationship. And this is important. It's not just a theological construction. So in the last couple weeks, I gave the eighth graders a bit of an assignment, I suppose. I said, just write an essay, two paragraphs. That's all I want is two paragraphs on why it's important for you that you are going to Catholic school and what going to Catholic high school will do for you. I was just curious to what they would come up with. And many of them had really great answers to this. And they were talking about their, you know, relationship and deepening their faith and understanding of their religion, their connection, and the community. And anyway, they were talking about all this. But what I also noticed is that none of those essays ever included the words Jesus, Holy Spirit, or Father. And when they were talking about God, it was always like my relationship with God. Now, maybe they meant the Trinity in there, but I think it maybe is something that we're kind of missing. And if we, like Rahner's insight was that if we don't really work at understanding that, then we're going to be deficient in a way that we're not going to see why it is that, that God did what he did and who God truly is. After all, if God is just an energy source or just, you know, a God out there somewhere, then it's really hard to fall in love with a definition or a theological construct. You know, we want to be in love with someone who is personal and capable of relationship. You know, that this is, you know, very important. And so looking at, you know, what Ronner was getting at and looking also at what our faith wants us to have, it really is an insight that God wants to bring us into his life and into his love, and he does that through a relational aspect. If God is not relational, if God is not capable of love, and if he is not personal, then we're greater than God, because we are capable of those things. We're capable of love and relationship, and we are persons. You know, so it tells you that there is something greater that the Lord is revealing to us when he does that. So what I'd like to suggest is maybe just try a few things over the next few weeks and try to incorporate them into your faith. And the first one is, when you pray, pray in a Trinitarian way. So most people, when they pray, they either pray to God or they pray to Jesus. Some people pray to the Father more. Some people pray to the Spirit. Some people pray to Jesus. Some pray to God. But whatever you typically pray for, mix it up a bit. You know, so if you typically are praying to Jesus, pray to the Holy Spirit, pray to the Father. And if you pray to God, then picture the three persons of the Trinity as part of that prayer. You know, so part of it's a bit of a mindset. Then the other thing is, consider our relationships as part of our faith as well. You know, the communal aspect of our faith. So let me give you another story about that. So when I was I think early high school, and I was feeling sorry for myself. I was like, I don't have any friends, you know, and I think my mom was saying, what are you talking about? You got all kinds of friends. And I was just, you know, back then we lived out in the woods, and so I would see my friends when we did things and we went to school, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I was thinking this way. And so my mom was saying, well, what about Todd? Just give Todd a call. I'm like, oh, okay. So back then we had phones. We could call people and talk to them, you know, so... So I just called up Todd, and we had a conversation and went out and did something. But sometimes the communal aspect of our relationships, it's very important, but we live in a world where we tend to get distracted from that, and we're placing our importance on things that are not nearly as important, and we're thinking or substituting it for these online fantasy type things or these things that aren't real. So make a priority your communal aspect of your faith, of your relationships, your family, and your friends. The church that we belong to, there's a reason why Jesus founded the church. He didn't just say, here's your Bible, do whatever you want. You know, that he wanted us to be part of a community. And when we are part of that community, it means we have to work at it a little bit. We invest ourselves in it. That means that our local parish is part of our family, our community, and we have to, you know, kind of do our part to sustain it and to live within it. It also means that when we go to Mass, that we don't just put on blinders and say, I'm just here for Jesus, you know, and then you all, it's like, you're not a part of it, and then we just do our own thing. You know, there's more grace and merit in doing what the church prescribes when it comes to our worship than all of us just kind of doing our own individual thing, you know, that there's the understanding of having communal life and communal worship. So when you do come to Mass, listen to the words that we use. For example, we talk about praying to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. It's all throughout our prayers that we are Trinitarian by our very nature in the way that we pray. But sometimes we can lose sight of that and we just kind of go through the routine. So be thinking about the prayers and how we pray, that when it's time for us to listen to the Word of God, that we're really receiving it like God wants us to. When we're doing the prayers of the Eucharist, that we're really lifting Jesus to the Father in the Spirit, and we're really combining and lifting ourselves up in that process as well. That when it's time for us to pray for one another in the world, that we're, you know, we're offering real prayer. That to the extent that we're able to do that, then we're helping that personal and relational aspect of God to come alive in our worship. And so all of that is really important. So it is second nature. We all know that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and those three are persons in the one God. We all know this. But let's allow, as the insight of Karl Rahner was saying, that God could reach out to us and through the Spirit and through Jesus bring us into the heart of his own relationship in his love and in his mercy. You know, this is part of the difference that we have as being Christian, something that other religions and other philosophies do not have. So let's celebrate this feast of the Trinity, but allow God to do what he wants to do with us through that revelation, and open yourselves to the fullness of God's mystery, love, and life.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.